Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan. Nice shot.
Nah, I'm just feeling really pumped. We're going to sink that beagle today with good arguments from science and scripture. I am Stan Hudson.
I am John Krulinski, welcoming you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at those serious issues of evolution and creation, where we like to put torpedoes down the belly of the HMS Beagle, Darwin's ship, where he'd wanted to discover a good explanation for understandings of existence.
And we'd like to see Darwin go down with the ship as a good skipper should.
As a good skipper should.
Anyway.
Darwin's destiny's in God's hands, but
Absolutely.
We hope the boat and his ideas that came up go down.
John, we've been talking about an image of God, and that's what we love to talk about here on Sink the Beagle. As we talk about creation issues, we're going to definitely be spending time on who God is, the great creator of Scripture.
And last week we talked about very fundamental passages to develop that image, and we went back to the beginning, and we just said,
in the
beginning, God created.
That's it. That's the most important scripture, we think.
The powerful God who is revealed throughout the early chapters of Genesis to be the intimate God, and in chapter 3 when man fell, the gracious God.
Mm-hmm.
But Stan, today, I think that that's just not quite enough. Even though mankind wasn't there to understand his origins, really, Genesis 1 through 3 really just only prepare you for what we would want to call the rest of the story.
The rest of the story.
Paul Harvey, thank you for that idea.
Okay, if Genesis is only part of the story, where are we going to go to today?
Well, the rest of the story tells us that the Bible tells us we were once created as a perfect creature in an intimate relationship with a loving, powerful, intimate God, a gracious God, who had problems.
Yes.
And the problems are got kicked out of the garden.
Speaking.
Yeah, speaking.
We're the problems.
You are the problem. And so are your children and teenagers, too.
Yes, we all became a big problem for God. What did he do?
And God chose to solve the problem through grace, through the invitation of the seed of the woman, who turns out to be his son. By the way, it wasn't just a problem that came. Actually, the solution to the problem came before even the creation of the world, because the Bible tells us that God had come up with a solution before the foundation of the world, just in case the problem should arise.
Because God does have all knowledge. He saw this happening. He made provision for this this terrible tragedy that the world was to fall.
Yeah, and so we, as we touched on last week, when God wants to let mankind know something that mankind cannot discover apart from God telling us, you know, science won't tell us how God created or his methods or his, or that he did it and how he did it and who he is.
Right.
God revealed it.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the story really points to what purpose? Why does God tell us this? Why does he have this plan?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something to which we are going to that can tie to where we came from?
Well, all of this is partly hatched, shall we say, in God's original purpose of creation. He created mankind to have a beautiful world and a place where he could enjoy each other, men, women, their children, their families, and nations as they grew. That was God's intention, to have this fellowship, but especially for God to come and relate and be with his people and for them with him. That walk in the garden was to be a daily thing, and then on Sabbath to spend much of the day together. God's purpose originally in creation was to be with us. Now, I would assume then that God has an intention, if he's going to fix the problem where we've lost that, God wants us to get back to that, back to the garden.
Yeah, I can imagine Adam and Eve when they first got cast out of that garden and just how they longed for those times when God would walk in the cool of the day.
Oh, yes.
And how God would just fellowship with them and they would enjoy and just have sheer joy and delight in each other's company at the ends of the days and whenever they would meet. And now
sin had caused them to lose that glow around them. They saw their nakedness. They were ashamed. They had problems in the relationship with each other, and they began to fear God.
And now instead of having joy in the cool of the day, they had to sweat in the heat of the day and in the fallenness of their existence.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we really talk about is life became quite meaningless and purposeless because God wasn't part of it. We were losing contact of why we're made and where we're going and what we're all about. Mm-hmm. And it's become more and more confused as time goes on, as we also discover there's also an evil power, because the Bible does reveal behind the scenes, both in the garden at Genesis 3 and in other places, that there is another being that God had made where a good being went bad.
Yes, and as we look at some of the answers to these questions that are brought up, it's amazing that, John, today we're going to go to the other end of Scripture. We're going to go from the book of beginnings in Genesis to the book of endings in Revelation.
And there you discover a little bit of the story in between and the story prior to creation in places like, you know, you go to a place and we'll turn there not as a torpedo text but as an informational text. You go to the last book in Revelation 12 where it talks about a great red dragon who had a war in heaven with and took down a third of the angels of heaven with him, a third of the stars, which are symbols of angels there, and the dragon is angels, and they were cast down because they chose to try to defy the way of love and set up an alternative method, which was the way of self. And God has been battling the way of self on in his way, which is only the way of love. So God can't has to play by his rules, but the devil can play by anyone's rules, has been trying to take man down since. And so the Bible, again, is giving us some more behind-the-scenes information that help us understand the rest of the story. The
rest of the story, there was war in heaven, and there was this conflict between Lucifer and God that has spilled over into this earth, and as it spilled over into this earth, unfortunately, mankind took the side of Lucifer. God had to win their trust back through the gospel, through Christ's death on the cross, was meant to win our allegiance back to him. And and because that will be successful, many will be drawn to Christ as he's lifted up. You and I being two of those, we've been drawn back to God, and our relationship has been reestablished to some degree. God has good plans for this universe and us in particular in the future.
He has plans for us. And that's why when we look at this world and we look at the imperfection of this world, the Bible, by telling us the story of Lucifer and his fall and then subsequently the fall of Adam and Eve, give us the reason why we have the problems we do. Unlike the man who is separated from God and walks in the heat of the day and can't explain it, like we talked about in the past, Lucretius and others, the world, is, he would say, was certainly not made for us by divine power. So great are the faults which it stands endowed.
In other words,
he sees this world. He sees all the problems, the faults. You know, it's easy to be a fault finder.
Oh, yes.
And Lucifer was an ultimate fault finder. He could point at this world and say, you know, there's problems here, there's problems there. It's like they were already precursors to CNN and the Daily News, the great fault finders of our society.
Yeah, that's right, the finger pointers. Well, there, we certainly have had that in this world, but God has some great things planned in the future. And let's talk a little bit about that now as we kind of spend a little time the rest of the story. Here's to today's torpedo text, John. I'll read from Revelation 21:5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new."
Looky, looky.
Yeah, the word behold means simply look. Take a look at this.
Gaze upon it and really take into your mind what you're about to see.
Now, right there, you have a good way of comparing that to the Genesis account. Why is that different than the Genesis account?
Well, in the Genesis account, God was giving us information that we could not find out without him telling us. There were no cameras there. There was no person there.
Yep.
We were unable to witness that event, and so we had to take it by faith. When it comes to the new creation, God just says, here's some empirical experience. You can watch it happen, and you'll never doubt again that I am the God who can speak, and it was. You've already experienced that in your own life by
faith. Sure, that's why you're here.
But now you get to watch this.
Check this out.
Shazam!
Whoa, man, I want a front row seat for that. Oh, right, for these things are true and faithful, and he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
I'm the rest of the story.
Yeah, the beginning and the end, the Genesis and Revelation. God is going to create wonderful things for us.
And so it's really, the Revelation truly is part of an earth made new. Matter of fact, that chapter referred to begins with those words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, And there was no longer any sea.
Now, why is that important?
Well, there's several things. I think that God's saying doesn't mean there's going to be any bodies of water in the new heaven
and
earth.
Oh, I want to see a whale. Yeah.
Why not have a whale?
Fish and
but
everything.
The whole point isn't sea in John's time and his point. Mm-hmm. He was on the island of Patmos, isolated from all the people he loved.
Right.
Isolated and imprisoned. So he's looking across a sea that divided. And also the sea in Revelation was the source of all the beastly powers that come marching out of the sea.
Yeah.
And what's also alluded here to, not only is there no more separation, there's no more evil to separate, and no more evil things coming up. And then
also remember that the sea was the end of God's great judgment on this planet. The waters that became the oceans of the earth
dried
were the waters that caused the death of the wicked. And so there's now no longer need for that to still be around.
And then it goes on to say, then he saw the new holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven like a bride. And you think of adorned for her husband. Think of Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. They lost community with each other and with God back in Eden. So you have the restoration of community when God does the rest of the story. And then he talks about the things that you won't find when God is now among his people. And
because he's making things new. What won't we find in this new earth and new heaven?
You won't find tears of pain anymore. You might find tears of joy, I suspect, but no more tears of pain.
God will wipe away all tears.
No more death.
No more death. Wow.
No more mourning or crying or pain.
Now, wait a minute. We've talked about the death thing here on Sink the Beagle, that death came through man's choice. Now, if God created this world through evolution, he brought death.
Mm-hmm.
It was his purpose for death. But now he's making it sound like that the Genesis account is accurate. It was an unwanted intruder into man's world.
And therefore, God is eliminating that unwanted intruder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's two passages I want to focus on
in
the rest of the story to finish it up for us today and for the listener that God's intending. It says in verse 3 of 21, it says, the tabernacle of God is among men. They get to walk in the cool of the day again.
That great purpose for creation is reestablished. God created us so we would have someone to love.
Someone to love again, and we get to be with our loved ones again, which is a real joyful thought.
Oh, yes.
And then it goes to one more verse that I want to finish. You started in verse 6, but the rest of the verse, there's one more sentence that concludes that verse, because it has to do not so much with what happened in the past or what's coming in the future. That verse 6 of Revelation 21 ends with, I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of life springs of water of life without cost. It's really an invitation. Cryptically in that verse is hidden the invitation for you and me today. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's thirsty today, you have water coming, so you'll never thirst again. It's the same, you'll be in relationships again. And that really is, I guess in some respects, the bottom line for not only Sink the Beagle, but for the whole Bible, is to restore what God began and to enter into those purposes.
And we are going to get, and just like Crosby, Stills, and Nash sang, we got to get back to the garden, get ourselves back to the garden. The great news of Scripture is we do get back to the garden. God recreates the world, and we go on again from that original purpose of fellowship with him.
And if you read the rest of Revelation, you'll find the tree of life, the water of life, the presence of God, the joy of community, all the things that we once were made to have, the purpose, the meaning, everything finds its consummation in this book, just like everything finds its understanding in the first book.
Yes, and we have to believe that first book, that it gives an accurate account of how things were meant to be and how they went wrong. And as we have faith in Genesis, we'll have faith in Revelation, the promises of God in the future.
And we'll discover that the God who created it once will recreate it, not over billions of years, but behold.
Yes, we can see it this time.
All things new.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from 7 Standard.